Yeah, we got it. All right. Problem solved. Now, this one actually did come from Todd, for those of you that weren't in men's prayer meeting, but I understand that it's a new requirement that when you join the Coast Guard now, you have to be at least 6 foot tall. That way, well, that way, if we're ever invaded by or invaded by foreign powers and one of their ships sink, they can walk to land. I know where that one's going. That's why I had to tell it. So you can blame it on Todd, Brother Todd. He's the one that originated it. I don't want to take the credit as much as I would love to. let's see. Fear personified. I'm afraid of three things: women, snakes, and the police. They all have the ability to hurt me and make it look like it was my fault. let's see. Mood swings. When I was a boy, my mother wore a mood ring. When she was in a good mood, it turned blue. When she was in a bad mood, it left a big red mark on my forehead. Amen. All right, let's see. Let me get myself organized, and I'll set up here. You'd think that I'd have the routine down, but it never fails. Okay. I hope you guys have had a great weekend so far. I hope even in spite of the weather, you can squeeze a good barbecue or something in there, maybe tomorrow or later on this evening. But in our country, we're celebrating Memorial Day this weekend. Amen? And it's a fitting day to celebrate. And like many others, I often get Memorial Day and Veterans Day to some degree mixed up. And that is, Veterans Day is an official day, United States holiday, which honors the people that have served in the armed service. Veterans Day observes and remembers all veterans, while Memorial Day is a day of remembering the men and the women who actually died during service. Amen? So, I know what, for a lot of people, it's just a great three-day holiday that, marks the beginning of summer. But it really is something special in our country. In honor of it, I wore my Marine Corps tie. I didn't think people noticed what kind of ties I wear. I don't notice which tie I wear half the time, but I do wear my Marine Corps tie here today. We're going into a weekend where we observe Memorial Day. And Memorial Day was originally called Decoration Day. And it's a day of remembrance for those who have died in our nation's service. There are many stories as to the actual beginnings, with over 24 cities and towns claiming to be the birthplace of Memorial Day. But there's also evidence that organized women's groups in the South were decorating graves before the end of the Civil War. A hymn published in 1867, "Kneel Where Our Loved Ones Are Sleeping," by Nella Sweet, carried the dedication to the ladies of the South who are decorating the graves of the Confederate dead. So while Waterloo, New York was officially declared the birthplace of Memorial Day by President Lyndon Johnson in May of 1966, nobody really knows when it actually got started. However, it was officially proclaimed back in May of 1868. There was a general, John Logan, the national commander of the Grand Army of the Republic. I didn't even know we had a national army, national commander of the Grand Army of the Republic. That sounds Russian. Cut it here. But his general order number 11, it was that actually caused the first Memorial Day on May 30th of 1868. And that's where we started placing flowers on the graves of Union and Confederate soldiers at Arlington National Cemetery. The first state to officially recognize the holiday was New York in 1873, and by 1890 it was recognized by all of the northern states. The South refused to acknowledge the day, honoring their dead on separate days until after World War I, when the holiday changed from honoring just those who died in the Civil War to honoring Americans who died and fought in any war. So I thought that was kind of interesting. But here's the proclamation that that General John A. Logan, part of the proclamation that he wrote it. He said this. He said, "On the 30th day of May, 1868, is designated for the purpose of strewing with flowers or otherwise decorating the graves of comrades who died in defense of their country during the late rebellion, and whose bodies now lie in almost every city, village, and hamlet churchyard in the land. In this observance, no form of ceremony is prescribed, but posts and comrades will in their own way arrange such fitting services and testimonials of respect as circumstances may permit. It is the purpose of the Commander-in-Chief to, that was him, by the way, to inaugurate this observance with the hope that it will be kept up from year to year while a survivor of the war remains to honor the memory of his departed comrades. He earnestly desires the public press to lend its friendly aid in bringing to the notice of comrades in all parts of the country in time for simultaneous compliance therewith." Signed by General John A. Logan, Commander-in-Chief. Memorial Day started way back with the Civil War and honoring the dead in the Civil War. Amen? Before we get any further here, let's go ahead and bow for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you today, and again, it's a national holiday weekend that we're embarking upon here in our country. But Father, there's certainly some spiritual things we can learn out of it, and certainly we come before you and ask you to bless everything that's said and done here this evening. Just try to be pretty quick and brief here tonight, and hopefully, Father, the words that are spoken will be a help to your people. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So back during the Civil War days, General John A. Logan formally instituted what we now call a Memorial Day. Then in 1915, a few years later, there was a lady by the name of Monia Michael who was inspired by a poem that was entitled In Flanders Fields. She wrote a poem of her own that went like this. It was, "We cherish too the poppy red that grows on fields where valor led. It seems to signal to the skies that blood of heroes never dies." And that's a short little poem that she wrote. And then she conceived an idea of wearing red poppies to observe Memorial Day. I didn't know that's where that came from. Amen? She wore those red poppies in honor of those who had died serving the nation during war. She was the first to wear one and sold poppies to her friends and co-workers, with the money going to benefit servicemen in need. Later, Madame Guérin from France was visiting the United States and learned of this new custom started by Mrs. Michael. And when she returned to France, she made artificial red poppies to raise money for war, orphan children, and widowed women. And this tradition spread to other countries. And in 1921, in France, the Children's League sold poppies nationally to benefit war orphans. The League disbanded a year later, and Madame Guérin approached the VFW for help. Shortly before Memorial Day in 1922, the VFW became the first veterans organization to nationally sell poppies. 2 years later, their buddy poppy program was selling artificial poppies made by disabled veterans. Isn't that something? I always wondered why when I went to Sam's Club or anything like that, and you walk up and the VFW is always there, and they have these little red artificial poppies that they sold. And I always thought that was kind of neat, and you know, most of the times I usually buy one or two over the course of the time, but I didn't realize where they came from. But that's Memorial Day. That's our country. And as we've seen fit to honor our military predecessors, many of them died in combat, but many of them lived. The truth is, you know what? Each and every one of them contributed to the freedoms in the country that we have right now. Amen? What a blessing. What a blessing that is. Open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, a very familiar passage of Scripture. Hebrews chapter 11. And like I said, I don't intend on being very long here tonight. Just wanted to jog our memories a little bit and talk about Memorial Day for just a few moments. But in Hebrews chapter 11, we go through the heroes of the faith, and we come to a very famous passage down in about verse 32, we pick up and we read this. Hebrews 11:32. It says, "And what shall I say, what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of the weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight." I like that. Turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bounds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with a sword, and wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect." Heroes of the faith. I'd just like to take a little bit of time this evening to just kind of give honor to some of those folks that helped preserve our country. And also to take a few minutes to also contrast that and give honor to some of those folks that helped us preserve our faith. Amen? Amen? During World War II, there was a Marine, of course, like the tie. There was a Marine called Harold Agerholm. He was awarded with the Congressional Medal of Honor. And the citation read something like this: For conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity at the risk of his life above and beyond the call of duty while serving with the 4th Battalion, 10th Marine, 2nd Marine Division in action against enemy Japanese forces on Saipan, Marianas Islands, 7 July 1944. When the enemy launched a fierce, determined counterattack against our positions and overran a neighboring artillery battalion, Private First Class Agerholm immediately volunteered to assist in the efforts to check the hostile attack and evacuate our wounded. Locating and appropriating an abandoned ambulance jeep, he repeatedly made extreme perilous trips under heavy rifle and mortar fire and single-handedly loaded and evacuated approximately 45 casualties. Working tirelessly and with utter disregard for his own safety during a grueling period of more than 3 hours, despite intense, persistent enemy fire, he ran out to aid two men whom he believed to be wounded Marines, but was himself mortally wounded by a Japanese sniper while carrying out his hazardous mission. Amen? Hoorah. Hoorah. You say, what's Memorial Day all about? Well, there you have it. Stuff like that. On this Memorial Day, I just simply ask you to remember those like Harold Agerholm who gave their lives. And he simply did this. You know what he did? He died trying to rescue the perishing. Amen? I mean, simple act. He was out there on the battlefield. They got overrun by the Japanese. And think about this. He saved the lives of 45 people. He volunteers, he grabs his ambulance jeep, he gets in this thing, and he drives, I don't know how long I don't know how far it was to where the people were at, but he drives around the battlefield picking up wounded Marines, wounded soldiers, wounded whoever was on the beach, grabbing them and taking them back to safety. And he does this thing over and over and over, back and forth. All the meanwhile, taking fire, taking mortar fire, taking rifle fire. 45 people. Like I said, I don't know how many trips he had to make. But let's say he fit 3 people in the jeep at a time. That's 15 trips back and forth. You know it wasn't 45 at once because it took him 3 hours to get it all done. And here we are, you know, in 2013 in America, celebrating Memorial Day, honoring some Marine back in World War II had the courage and the guts to do something like that. Amen? That's what it's all about. Harold Algerholm died trying to rescue the perishing. They were wounded out there. Listen, they were a goner if he didn't come get them. Amen? That's a thing to remember. That's a thing to honor. Around the year 1415, there was a Christian, and this one's pretty familiar with you, and most of you probably heard of him before, but his name was John Huss. John Huss, right? From Bohemia. And he had gotten a hold of a bunch of Wycliffe's teachings, and he went around that country of Bohemia, and you know what he was trying to do? He was trying to rescue the perishing. He got out there and he just started preaching and preaching up a storm, and next thing you know, all kinds of people are paying attention to what's going on. And here's John Huss just preaching away in Bohemia. And Pope John the 23rd, seeking to suppress the Bohemians, appointed Cardinal Di Colomba to look into Huss's preaching to deal with any heresy that he might find. So Columna set a date for Huss to appear before him in Rome. Huss never appeared on the designated date, but the king of Bohemia sent ambassadors to assure Columna that any false doctrine being preached in his country would be taken care of by him at his expense. At the same time, Huss sent his own ambassadors to assure the cardinal he was innocent of heresy. Columna refused all their pleas and excommunicated Huss for failing to appear in person. Yes! That's as good as a Medal of Honor, isn't it? That's as good as a Medal of Honor. The Bohemians couldn't have cared less about the proclamation of excommunication. The more they grew in the knowledge of the Lord through Huss, the less they cared for the Pope and his rules, especially since the church was divided at that time with three men arguing over who was Pope. So Huss was banned from Prague, but he carried on his work, spreading around the message among the people and causing a great uproar in the churches. Let's see, in 1414, a general church conference was held in Constance to resolve the problem of the three popes and also to deal with the Bohemians. Assured of safe conduct by both the emperor and one of the popes, Huss traveled to the conference, having arrived in Constance on November 3rd. 26 days later, he appeared before the bishops to defend himself, but was not allowed to speak. In violation of the promises made to him, he was imprisoned for safekeeping. On June 7th, in 1415, Huss was brought before a council and condemned as a heretic when he refused to recant his support of Wycliffe's theology. He was stripped of all his church offices, made to wear a pauper hat with the words "arch-heretic" on it, and led past a fire consuming his books. On July 6, 1415, the hangman stripped Huss of his clothes, tied his hands behind him, then chained his neck to the stake. At that point, Huss told the hangman that he was glad to accept the chain for the Lord's sake. Straw and wood were piled around him to his chin, and the fire was lit. As the flames rose around him, Huss was heard to say over and over, "Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, have mercy upon me." Amen. What a blessing. What a blessing. Until the flames finally choked him. When all the wood was burned, the upper part of his body was still hanging on the chain, so they threw it down, made a new fire, burned it after cutting his head into small pieces. When he was totally burned, Huss's ashes were carefully collected and thrown into the Rhone River. So here we go into 2012 or 2013, whatever year it is. In the United States of America, and we observe Memorial Day. And we have some pretty grand heroes in our past, in our military, Medal of Honor winners. Like I said, I think I've got three here tonight that I'll talk to you about. But when you sit back and you think about this over the weekend, listen, remember our heroes of the faith too. Because there's some folks in our history, in our legacy, that went through that kind of cruel torture and went through that type of stuff to give us what we have, to give us that book we hold in our lap. And I know we talk about these things an awful lot, but brethren, on a day like today, it's a good day to remember it, amen? I mean, here's a guy that, walks into the face knowing good and well he's not going to get a fair trial. Stands up anyway, does his best to stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ, gets put on the stake, And during that whole process, he's got a great attitude about it. And is trusting in his Lord. What a blessing. What a blessing. I was talking to my friend Greg at work today. He's a Christian. Most of you, I know we've prayed for him before, but we were talking about what may happen to Christians. And I hope none of that stuff happens to us. But I'll tell you what, the thought did run across my mind. Hey, what if we're ever pushed to that point? What if we're ever pushed to that point? Would we make the list of having a memorial service for us for dying for the Lord Jesus Christ in an attempt to get out there and rescue the perishing? 45 people this Marine goes out and picks up off the battlefield through fire, through mortars. You know what mortars are, right? Those shells that explode all around you. And carries them back. 45 people. 3 hours he spent rescuing his comrades on the battlefield. What a blessing. What a blessing. I'd like to be able to get that kind of medal spiritually. Amen? Amen? Spiritually. I mean, how many people you gone out and you tried to rescue? And they're in dire straits and they're lying wounded out there in the battlefield, and you got to get on the Jeep and you head out there in spite of everything the world's throwing at you, in spite of everything that you've got going on in your own personal life, everything that's going on around us in your country and in the globe, and you just keep going out. You just keep going out because there's people out there that need you. You just keep going out 45 times plus for us, because we've got more than 3 hours to do this, right? And we just keep going out. Just keep going out. And you grab who you can, you throw them on the back of the ambulance Jeep that you've got, and you haul them back to safety. Until finally, one day, the Lord decides it's time to take you and I home. But you know what we've been doing for those last 3 hours? We've been going back and forth, just simply trying to rescue the perishing. Amen. Memorial Day. You say, what should we remember on Memorial Day? Someone that gives their life trying to rescue the perishing. John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Amen? What a blessing. What a blessing. I got another one. During World War II, another Marine. They're not all Marines. I know you may be tempted to believe that everyone who won the Medal of Honor in the whole wide world is a Marine. But they're not all Marines. But this one is. John Vassalone was awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor. On the night of October 24th and 25th, 1942, his unit engaged the Japanese in the Laguna area when their position came under attack by a regiment of approximately 3,000 soldiers. The Japanese forces began a frontal attack using machine guns, grenades, and mortars against the American heavy machine guns. Vassalone commanded two sections of machine guns that fought for the next 48 hours until only Vassalone and two other men were still able to continue fighting. Vassalone moved an extra gun into position and maintained continual fire against the incoming Japanese forces. He repaired another machine gun and personally manned it, holding the defensive line until replacements arrived. With the continuous fighting, ammunition became critically low, and supply lines were cut off. Vassalone fought through hostile lines and returned with urgently needed ammunition for his gunners. He was killed on Iwo Jima on February 19, 1945. He was the first enlisted Marine to receive the Medal of Honor, the Purple Heart, and the Navy Cross. Memorial Day, remembering heroes who gave their life. Right? All right, so I put John Vassalone in a different category. John Vassalone died just trying to remain faithful. Here you had a guy that was on the islands and machine guns all around, and he's fighting 3,000 people coming down on you, and out there fighting the Marines, and machine guns are going, run out of ammo. He takes his own life at peril, runs back, resupplies ammo, brings it back to maintain those machine guns running. And he does that, and he fights, 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 and he survives that battle. He made it through that battle. What a hero. What a great guy. And then he probably went back for a little bit of R&R, got some good chow, and then got assigned to go to another battle over on another island and in Iwo Jima, he wound up dying. Second category, John Vassalone, Medal of Honor winner. You know what he just did? He just remained faithful. He just took everything that the world had to throw at him. All the enemy had to throw at him. In spite of it all, he just kept going, resupplied his own men, fought, made it through the battle to live and fight another day, only then to die in a different battle. What a hero. What a blessing. And I know there are countless Christians who have achieved this award. Let me just list two. Again, the first one is very familiar. The first one I'm sure you can probably even tell me some things about, but Polycarp in 161 A.D. He was the bishop of Smyrna. 3 days before he was captured, Polycarp dreamt that a pillow under his head had caught fire. And when he awoke, he told those around him that he would burn alive for Christ's sakes. Hearing his captors had arrived one evening, Polycarp left his bed to welcome them. He ordered a meal prepared for them and then asked them for if he could have an hour to pray. We sung that song earlier, Sweet Hour of Prayer, Sweet Hour of Prayer. I wonder how sweet that hour was to him. He asked to be alone for an hour to pray. The soldiers were so impressed by Polycarp's advanced age and composure that they began to wonder why they had been sent to take him. But as soon as he had finished his prayers, they put him on a donkey and brought him into the city. As he entered the stadium with his guards, a voice from heaven was heard to say, well, maybe, maybe not. Be strong, Polycarp, play the man. But before the tribunal and the crowd, Polycarp refused to deny Christ. Although he was begged, and somebody said to him, please, consider yourself and have pity on your great age. Reproach Christ and I will release you, he was told. Polycarp replied, 86 years have I served him, and he never once wronged me. How can I blaspheme my king who saved me? You must have heard the message on the old man's diary the other day. 86 years. Threatened with wild beasts and fire, Polycarp stood his ground. What are you waiting for? Do whatever you please. The crowd demanded Polycarp's death, gathering wood for the fire and preparing to tie him to the stake. Leave me, he said. He who will give me the strength to sustain the fire will help me not to flinch from the pile. So they bound him but didn't nail him to the stake. As soon as Polycarp finished his prayer, the fire was lit, but it leaped up around him, leaving him unburned until the people convinced a soldier to plunge a sword into him. When he did, so much blood gushed out that the fire was immediately extinguished. The soldiers then placed his body into a fire and burned it to ashes. Memorial Day. We got some great heroes in our nation's past, in our history. But brethren, we got some great heroes in our faith, in our history of faith. Amen? Another one. I love some of these names. Perpetua. So here you have an 86-year-old man, started with Polycarp. Here's Perpetua. During the reign of Severus, the Christians had several years rest and could worship God without fear of punishment. But after a time, see if this sounds familiar, the hatred of the ignorant mob again prevailed, and the old laws were remembered and put into force against them. Fire, sword, wild beasts, and imprisonments were resorted to again. And even the dead bodies of Christians were stolen from their graves and mutilated. By now, the persecutions had extended to northern Africa, which was a Roman province, and many were murdered in that area. One of these was Perpetua, a married lady, 26 years old, with a baby at her breast. 86 to 26. 26-year-old lady. That's a young lady. Amen? On being taken before the proconsul, Perpetua was commanded to sacrifice to the idols. Refusing to do so, she was put into a dark dungeon and deprived of her child. But two of her keepers, Tertius and Pomponius allowed her out in the fresh air several hours a day, during which time she was allowed to nurse her child. Finally, the Christians were summoned to appear before a judge and urged to deny their Lord, but all remained firm. When Perpetua's turn came, her father suddenly appeared carrying her infant in his arms and begged her to save her own life for the sake of her child. That had to be tough. It had to be tough. Even the judge seemed to be moved. Spare the gray hairs of your father, he said. Spare your child. Offer sacrifice for the welfare of the emperor. Perpetua answered, I will not sacrifice. That's a Medal of Honor candidate. Amen? I am a Christian, was her answer. Perpetua and all the other Christians tried with her that day were ordered killed by wild beasts and as a show for the crowd on the next holiday. They entered the place of execution clad in the simplest of robes. Perpetua was singing a hymn of triumph. The men were to be torn into pieces by leopards and bears. Perpetua and a young woman named Felicius were hung up in nets, at first naked, but then the crowd demanded that they should be allowed their clothing. Well, that's different from today. When they were again returned to the arena, a bull was let loose on them. Felicius fell seriously wounded. Perpetua was tossed, her loose robe torn and her hair falling loose, but she hastened to the side of dying Felicius and gently raised her from the ground. When the bull refused to attack them again, they were dragged out of the arena to the disappointment of the crowd, which wanted to see their deaths, finally brought back in to be killed by gladiators. Perpetua was assigned to a trembling young man who stabbed her weakly several times, not being used to such scenes of violence. When she saw how upset the young man was, Perpetua guided his sword to a vital area and died, remaining faithful. These martyrs died just simply remaining faithful. Imagine a 26-year-old lady with a baby having enough courage and guts to stand up in the face of her tormentors and persecutors and enough love for the Lord Jesus Christ that she's willing to let all that go and stay faithful. And just stay faithful. John Basselon alone, that Marine, died because he just did his job. He just stayed faithful. In spite of everything he faced, the machine guns, the mortar fire, everything was coming at him. He made it through that battle only to live and fight again another day, at which point he finally died. But you know what he did? He just remained faithful. And we give people like that the Medal of Honor. The Medal of Honor. And here's a 26-year-old lady. 26-year-old lady who's willing to stand up and is every bit as courageous as that Marine on the battlefield. She gets out there and they're attacked by the bull and thrown in the air. They land. The bull stops. He doesn't attack them the second time. He just stands there. She's been thrown up in the air, and here she is, all tattered. Her friend Felicia is lying over there. And you know what she thinks, this 26-year-old girl? She doesn't think, oh, God, why did you do this to me? She doesn't think, oh, God, why am I having to go through all this? Oh, God, why am I here in this arena in front of this crowd, embarrassed and about ready to be mauled by this bull that's coming to get me again? You know what she thinks? She thinks of her friend lying over there, and she crawls over to her to pick her up to give her aid. What a blessing. You say, what does it take to win the Medal of Honor of Faith? Okay, some people spend a lot of years rescuing the perishing. Some people just remain faithful. In spite of all the injuries that they've got in themselves, in spite of everything they're going through, in spite of being faced with their own torment, with their own demise, they have the time and the heart and the compassion to move over to their friend who's suffering right alongside of them and pick them up and offer them comfort. I find it amazing that, okay, so the bull stops. So she's got time to pause and think about all this. It's really easy to stand up at the beginning. But when you're halfway mauled to death, you got to be thinking, okay, Lord, when's it going to end? But she doesn't think that. And what a blessing. The 26-year-old lady, young woman, she remained just as faithful as any old man that ever lived. What a blessing. See, Memorial Day, we celebrate it in our country. We love the heroes. We love the war stories. We love all these things. But, brethren, we got people that did that for us, to give us a Bible, to give us our, pass along our faith to the next generation. Amen? That's what they endured. That's what they endured. Have you ever seen those accidents that occur when the running of the bulls happens? And that bull, gores somebody and tosses them up in the air like a rag doll? And that's what happened to her. I wouldn't want to be there. In spite of all that, like I said, her concern was for her brethren, or that sister that was lying on the ground next to her. What a blessing. How do you get to the place where you don't think of yourself in times like that? That's worthy of a Medal of Honor. How do we get to the place where we don't think of ourselves when, humanly speaking, it would certainly be justifiable? But as Christians, our heart remembers, whatever happens to this flesh, this body, the Lord's going to take care of it. Who can I help around me? Memorial Day for those that gave their life serving their country. I say serving their God too. Amen. Our God. Who should we remember on Memorial Day? Someone that gives their life trying to remain faithful. Just trying to remain faithful. No matter what happens, no matter how bad it gets, no matter how bad the outlook seems to be, just trying to remain faithful. And if it takes your life one day, praise the Lord. You go home, you get to heaven, you get to enjoy time with the Lord. Look forward to a big happy meal when the rest of us get up there. Amen? Revelation 2:10 says this. It says, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Memorial Day. To us, she means something really special in a couple of different ways. Here's a final category. People that we should think about and just remember on Memorial Day. During World War II, Army guy. I know it's hard to believe. Army guy, Roger W. Young. there we go. For conspicuous gallantry, they must all use the same book. I can't say that word still. Intrepidity? Yeah. Lad, I'm going to have an English lesson after this. All right? Intrepidness, I'm sure, is the root word there, but I can't say that form. At the risk of his life, above and beyond the call of duty, on August 23rd, 1944, Staff Sergeant Carey, leader of a machine gun section, was advancing with his company in the attack on a strongly held enemy hill near Brittany, France. The advance was held up when the attacking units were pinned down by intense enemy machine gun fire from a pillbox 200 yards up the hill. From his position covering the right flank, Staff Sergeant Carey displaced his guns to an advanced position, and then upon his own initiative, armed himself with as many hand grenades as he could carry, and without regard for his personal safety, started alone, up the hill toward the pillbox. Crawling forward under its withering fire, he proceeded 150 yards when he met a German rifleman whom he killed with his carbine. Continuing his steady forward movement until he reached grenade-throwing distance, he hurled his grenades at the pillbox, opening in the face of intense enemy fire, which wounded him mortally. Undaunted, he gathered his strength and continued his grenade attack until one entered and exploded within the pillbox, killing the occupants and putting their guns out of action. Inspired by Staff Sergeant Carey's heroic act, the rifleman quickly occupied the position and overpowered the remaining enemy resistance in the vicinity. His actions helped the rest of the unit return to base without taking any more casualties. So here's Staff Sergeant Carey, 200 yards away, starts crawling and going up there with as many grenades as he can carry. He gets up there, and the Germans are firing at him. The Germans are trying to kill him. And the machine gun's going down, and they can't get him. And he gets up and crawls up, and they finally get him. And it said in there, it said he was mortally wounded. In other words, by the time he got up to the place where he could actually start chucking those grenades, he had finally gotten hit, and brethren, he knew he was going to die. He had been battered and beaten and shot, and there he was lying out in the field, knowing good and well he was going to die. And he takes the initiative to continue fighting on and continue throwing these grenades until he finally gets one in the pillbox that he was after. Alvin Carey died trying to recover, though he was mortally wounded. Instead of just lying down there out there in the middle of the battlefield, which he could have done, and just bled to death and just let everything go and not worry about it, even after he knew he was a goner, he gathers the strength to keep fighting just a little bit longer to save all his buddies behind him. Nobody else in the company died, or in the platoon died after that. He died trying to recover, though he was mortally wounded. Here's another account. Let me pull this one out. Thomas Bilney. He was brought up at the University of Cambridge, and even as a child, studying the liberal sciences and laws. But at last, having found a better teacher in the Holy Spirit, he gave up his study of man's laws to learn the Word of God. Excited by his love of true religion and godliness, Bilney felt a need to spread the gospel to others. He was quite successful in this, converting a whole list of people here. But his attacks on the insolence, pomp, and pride of the clergy soon drew the attention of Thomas Wolsey, the Cardinal of York, who ordered both Bilney and his friend Arthur imprisoned. On November 27th, 1527, Bilney and Arthur were brought before Wolsey and a group of bishops, priests, and lawyers at Westminster, asked if they had privately or publicly taught the opinions of Martin Luther or anybody else in the church. Bentley said he hadn't. He was asked if he hadn't previously sworn to actively oppose this type of teaching wherever it was found. He admitted that he had sworn to do so, but only under pressure, not legally. Told to recant his errors, Bilney refused, saying he would stand on his conscience. He was declared a heretic. From December 5th till December 7th, Bilney continued to take the position he had done nothing against the church doctrine and asked permission to call witnesses. Of course, he wasn't allowed to have any witnesses. On the advice of his friends, Bilney gave in. No witnesses were allowed since he had already been declared a heretic. On December 7th, he was given his last chance to recant before being sentenced. On advice of his friends, Bilney gave in and was absolved by the bishop. He was sentenced to prison for some time and forced to do penance by going before the procession at St. Paul's, bareheaded and carrying a log on his shoulder. And then he stood before the preacher during the sermon. Now you understand that's where they were killing all the other Christians. So that means he was probably carrying one of the log that's going to be thrown on fire to burn somebody else. Returning to Cambridge in 1528, Bilney fell into a deep depression that nothing could lift. His friends stayed with him day and night, afraid that he might kill himself if left alone. This depression stayed with him until 1531, at which time Bilney decided that he could no longer deny God's truth, said goodbye to his friends, and left to resume preaching in Norfolk. He urged everyone there to learn from his example and never trust their friends' advice when it came to matters of religion and conscience. He had denied God's truth once to save his life, but never would again. Bilney was soon arrested and given to the city sheriffs for execution. One of whom Thomas Necton was a close friend. And although Necklace was powerless to stop Bilney's execution, he was able to make his waiting a little more comfortable. The officers put reeds and wood around him, lit the fire, which flared up rapidly, deforming Bilney's face as he held up his hands and called out, "Jesus," and "I believe." So here you have somebody who should be remembered, even though he was mortally wounded. You have Carey, who gets out there on the battlefield, on the secular battlefield, and they're pinned down by machine guns and through perilous fire, and faces the whole thing himself and gets out there, handful of grenades, and lobs them, and is mortally wounded and still fights on and finally gets one of those grenades in the pillbox. And here you have Bilney, who goes through this whole thing as a Christian, doing right, and then faces persecution and then recants. He gives up on God. He turned his back on God, and then was actually even to the point where he took the logs and was carrying them down to St. Paul's. Like I said, where they burn a lot. I don't know if it's to another Christian's burning or not, but nonetheless, he gave up. And he walked out after that battle mortally wounded. His conscience killed him for the rest of his life. He had to live with that day in, day out. I gave up on my God. I failed my God. He went into bouts of deep depression, to the point where people had to stay around him day and night to make sure he wasn't going to kill himself. I gave up on my God. I failed. I started off right, and I failed. And it bothered him so much, he turned around and he stood back up and he said, "You know what? Whatever happens, happens. I'm going to serve my God again." And in spite of what his friends advised him to do at the beginning, he stood on his own two feet, went out there and started preaching the gospel again, only to get captured and arrested and brought through the whole thing again, had to face the whole thing again. And you know what? He didn't fail the second time. You say, what kind of man should we remember on Memorial Day? I'll tell you what, a man who was mortally wounded and then still fought on. Amen? You see that in secular, in Staff Sergeant Carey, and you see that in Bilney. Somebody who started the battle well, listened to the wrong people, for all practical purpose spiritually was mortally wounded. Not lost, we know about eternal security, but for all practical purposes, was mortally wounded because he thought he had messed up too bad to do anything for God. He walked away from that thing probably thinking, "You know what? I have messed up so bad in my life, there is no way I could ever face another Christian, ever face another. How can I face my Lord, my Savior, being like this?" Almost to the point of suicide. And the Lord's gracious. And the Lord gives him a chance to stand up and get back on the horse and start fighting once again. You say, who should we remember on Memorial Day? I tell you what, someone that gives their life trying to recover and fight, even though they've been mortally wounded. Amen? Even though they've been mortally wounded. Isaiah 55:7 just simply says this: "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." What a verse, man. Jeremiah 3:22 says, "Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God." What a blessing. Someone that gives their life trying to recover and fight, even though they were mortally wounded. Hosea 6:1 says this. It says, "Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will build us up. After 2 days will he revive us, and the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight." Memorial Day. As a nation, we honor those that gave their life and sacrificed so that we could have this country we have. But as Christians, we've even got something else to think about. And we can honor some of those soldiers of Christ that went before us and gave their lives so that we can have our rich heritage and who we are and what we're all about. Just trying to rescue the perishing, right? 45 times. Or 45 guys, in and out, in and out, in and out. I don't know how many times. Saving the people around him. Right? Just trying to remain faithful. You've been tossed up in the air by the bull. You're lying there. Your friend's lying next to you. And the bull's getting ready to come again. And you just remain faithful. And the third category is trying to recover and fight, even though you may have been mortally wounded. Say Memorial Day. That's what we should remember. That's what we should remember. Not only for our country, which I'm glad for that. Got my Marine Corps tie on. What a blessing that is. But we got brethren that did that for us. What a blessing. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again for another night here. And Lord, to be able to read the accounts of some of the saints that have gone before us. Father, some of the things and the trials that they had to endure. Lord, it ought to give us courage. It ought to give us strength. And as we've seen, just three different categories of people that, in a spiritual sense, are in the medal of honor. And Father, the truth of the matter is, each and every one of us can do the very same thing. I pray that you'd give us the grace to be able to do that if the time ever comes. But Lord, more importantly, we may not be able to follow them exactly in the way of their death. But Lord, we can certainly follow them in the way of their life. We can certainly live the same way they lived. And everything else, we leave up to you. And we trust that you'll take us through whatever we need to be through. So Lord, help us think about these things, remember these things. And appreciate this book that we have, the faith that we have, and the people that have gone on before us and the sacrifices that they've made. Lord, help us to just be thankful and grateful for their sacrifice. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand. We'll turn to number 432. Number 432.
Rescue the perishing. weekend. Stay safe. Please remember to pray for all the things that we had on the list. And let's see, Brother Dave, can you just close us finally in a word of prayer?
Lord, thank you for the giving us here. We thank you for the freedoms that we have, both in this country, but especially spiritually. And they all came at a great cost, Lord. And I just pray that you'd help us to pay the price that you asked us for our lives. It's not as much as what we've heard tonight, but whatever comes away, Lord, help us be faithful. Help us be close to you, and help us be thankful people for all you've done for us, what you provide. And pray bless the rest of the evening here.
All right, amen, folks. You may be dismissed.